What causes some people to really love God and others just not to have that same devotion to Him? What makes the difference? We're going to read a parable today in which Jesus deals with that problem and that issue, and it's in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he enters the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say on, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Lord Jesus takes this occurrence in his life, this incident in his life, in order to give the teaching of the parable. What's the scene? Well, the Pharisee is, I take it, a fairly well-to-do man. He has a nice home. He has a banquet now. He invites Jesus to come. Jesus, the teacher, who is being heard of more and more, this prophet from Galilee. And the Pharisee is interested and perhaps wondering, is he really a prophet? Is he really a man of God? Who is this Jesus? While they're reclining at the meal, at this banquet, a woman comes in, and she stands behind, and she weeps and weeps at the feet of Jesus. He was reclining with his feet sort of toward the back, and the tears run down her face. They drip onto his feet. His feet become wet, and then she takes her hair and rubs his feet with her hair, dries his feet. And then she has a vial of very costly perfume, and she pours that over his feet. And the odor fills the whole house, and you can imagine now the guests beginning to look around. They smell the perfume, and then they see the woman, and what's this confusion going on? What's it all about? Now, Simon is critical. His attitude is, well, if he really knew what kind of woman this is, and he should if he's a prophet, he would instinctively know that she's a sinner, she's a public woman, she's a harlot, she's the town prostitute. And he allows her to come up and touch him, and he ought to be a holy man. He shouldn't have anything to do with women like that. He shouldn't even allow them to come near him. And this was Simon's evaluation of the situation. Now, the thing that we see about the woman is that certainly she was a sinner. Everyone in the room would agree, yes, she's a sinner. They might not agree they were sinners, but they would say, yes, this woman, we know her, and she's a sinner. She's known as the town prostitute. Everyone knows who she is, and the decent women avoid her. They'll cross to the other side of the street if they see her coming. They despise her. How many men she seduced. So she's an outcast, really, and all would agree, yes, she's a sinner. But she's not just simply a sinner. As we see her here, she's evidently a broken sinner. She's a weeping sinner. She's pouring out her heart, really, in her tears at the feet of Jesus. Why is she sorrowing? Why is she broken? Well, I take it because there's come repentance. Sin is very, very costly. Now, oftentimes, when people begin to get into a particular pattern of sin, Satan disguises it. He deceives. He's very clever. He makes that sin seem so attractive, so rewarding. And I'm sure it was this way with the woman. When she began to get into this lifestyle and into this pattern, it seemed exciting, it seemed rewarding. This was really what she wanted to do more than anything else, and she did it. But as the time went on, she began to know the pain, the sorrow, the rejection, the shame that sin brings. Satan is clever, isn't he? I often think of this in connection with cigarette advertising, for example. They say cigarette smoking is one of the greatest killers in the Western world, certainly in the United States. Thousands every year die as the end result of cigarette smoking. But have you ever noticed the cigarette ads? You see a young woman, for example, full of health and vitality, beautiful, all the vigor of youth. And she's the one that's there lighting up a cigarette, encouraging you to do the same. Or you see a young man, and who do you see? Someone just that is full of youth and virile, strong, healthy, bronzed and tanned by the sun, engaged in outdoor sports, he's the one lighting up the cigarette. Do they ever take you to a hospital room and show you a man, perhaps in his 50s, who is dying of emphysema and is gasping for air and calling for oxygen? Do they ever show you a picture like that to encourage you to smoke? Oh, no, not at all. They don't want you to see the end result of heavy smoking. And the same is true of liquor advertising. They too show you the young, the affluent, the cultured, the attractive. They don't take you to a mental institution and show you some there that are broken in mind and body because of alcoholism. They would not show you this at all. Satan always deceives and always portrays sin as something very attractive and desirable and disguises the end result. I don't know what had happened in this woman's life or thinking that broke her. But she came to the point where she was tired of sin, where she was broken because of sin, and where there came repentance. Repentance, not a word often used today. Today, oftentimes in presenting the gospel, we try to make it as easy, as comfortable as possible. One does not have to give up anything to become a Christian. You simply take Jesus and get a lot of good things, and you can retain your old lifestyle and your old habits and your old patterns, and that's okay. Everything will be forgiven. Not much emphasis on repentance today, is there? And yet it was a vital part of the preaching of Jesus. He preached, repent and believe the gospel. It was certainly a part of John the Baptist's preaching. And it was a vital part of Paul's preaching. He believed in grace. He believed in salvation by grace. But he said, you can sum up my message by saying, I preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he told them in Acts 20 as he spoke to the elders from Ephesus. Repentance. Repentance is not just sorrow because you've been caught. It isn't just sorrow because there's a penalty that you've incurred, but it's a change of mind, a completely different outlook toward that sin, seeing it with God's eyes as not something that's attractive and beautiful and to be desired, but as something that's destructive and hateful and to be put away. I believe this woman had come to that place. No longer was the sin she'd been involved in attractive to her. I think there had come a real distaste, a sense of revulsion over the things that she had done. And now she finds herself at the feet of this man, Jesus, broken and weeping, sorrowing because of her sin. It's a moving scene, isn't it? This woman, broken at his feet. Why did she come to him? She must have felt he would not turn her away. She must have felt he would accept her. She must have felt that here was one who would love her with real love. She'd known many men, and she'd known, perhaps she'd even given her body to men, hoping for love. But she discovered there's a big difference simply between sex itself and real love. Now she comes to one who is marked by love and acceptance and forgiveness. And she comes as a broken, sorrowing sinner. She comes also to worship, to show her appreciation. And she brings this vial of perfume, costly perfume. And she pours this upon his feet. And this expresses, really, her appreciation of him, of his forgiveness, of his acceptance. It's the heart of a sinner being poured out in worship at the feet of the Savior. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wept because of your sin? Have you ever repented? And then have you ever known the sweet joy of knowing the Lord Jesus has forgiven you? This woman did.